As we come together on this morning, thanking God for the many blessings that He has given us, knowing that in the end, that we will give an account of all that we have done in this body, whether good or whether bad. It is a wonderful, wonderful day. The day, as Brother Mark prayed about, that we were able to arise on this morning and come to this place to worship God. Again, I do not know if any of you listen to the prayers as they are being prayed. But Brother Mark prayed this morning, and his prayer was not selfish. Brother Mark mentioned that we think about and we pray about that the ones that have lost loved ones on these past recent months. Brother Mark stated that those, he is in those numbers, he and Brother Malachi. So his prayer was not selfish. And I just want him to know that we continue to think about him and Brother Malachi and others as well that have lost loved ones. And our hearts continue to go out to them. He also prayed about our Lord and our Savior giving his life. A life on the cruel cross of Calvary. He died for the sins of the world. He committed no sin. He was perfect. He was the ultimate sacrifice. And we have to remember that, not just on this day, but every day. We know a couple of weeks ago, the world celebrate what we call Easter. They remember the death, burial, and resurrection, according to them, once a year. We remember it all the time. Come together to partake of the Lord's Supper upon the first day of every week. Amen. And we need to continue to do that, for that is what God desires. Amen. That is His command, not ours. And so we continue to do what we're supposed to do. On this morning, the scripture reference was read from the book of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I just want to pull one verse from there before we get into the lesson and get into the real text. Luke chapter 2, we find as Jesus was there and Jesus was talking to the people, sitting there in their midst after his mother and his father looked for him. Jesus replied to them in Luke 2, verse 49, and he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not, or do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We are going to look at this morning and talk about, it's all about Him. Stay the course. It's all about Him. Stay the course. And it's important that we realize that this course that we're looking at and this course that we are concentrating on, again, it is all about what Jesus has done. It's all about what the Father has done. And it's all about looking at His Word and understanding that if we do not stay the course, that we will not be the people that God wants us to be. In Luke chapter 24, we're going to find these words. In Luke chapter 24, we're going to find these words. Starting with verse 42. Luke 24, starting with verse 42. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law and the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations." All nations, beginning from Jerusalem. "You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. It's all about him. Now, you can look at this him as being him as God the Father, him as being God the Son, or him as being God the Spirit. All three have a great part in what we just read. God sent his Son to die for the sins of the world. And upon him dying, he was risen on the third day. He told his disciples, "You go to Jerusalem." That's where it's going to all begin. You go to Jerusalem. And there's power from on high that's going to come to you. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they work together. They are one in purpose. They are one in mind. We cannot separate them in that accord. Now, we separate them by looking at what the Father has done, what the Son has done, and what the Spirit has done. Jesus says in verse 44 again, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you." My words. The words in which Jesus spoke were the words that the Father gave him. The things that the Holy Spirit has done, he did because it is what Jesus told him to do because of what the Father told him. They're all three working together. So what we must understand today is that we must stay the course. It is not about us. It's about him. We come to worship. Yes, we love to see one another. We speak to one another. We encourage one another. And what we're speaking to them about should be something that is pleasing to God. Because Jesus is our greatest example on how we should conduct ourselves in the presence of others, in the presence of the Father. So let us stay the course. We're going to look at three things on this morning as we talk about staying the course. Because we have to understand that it is important for us to serve him. To serve him. So we have to keep serving. In the book of John chapter 12 and the verse is 26. John chapter 12 and the verse is 26. We find here that there are some people that were seeking after Jesus. We know that the Jews were God's chosen people. But here we have some Greeks that are seeking after him, wanting to serve him. And Jesus says something very important to them. In verse 26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. Must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. If anyone serves me. These are the words of Jesus. And so we have to understand that when people say that they want to serve Jesus, that they have to give up some things. Their past ways, they have to give them up. There's some family that they may have to leave behind. There's some things that they have participated in and may still be participating in it, but they have to make up in their minds that they want to quit doing those things. Because it's what's important to the Lord. Amen. So keep serving. Keep serving. But then we go to the Psalm 14, verse 1. Some of you may know this scripture. You know, we talk sometime and when we laugh and we joke about this passage here where people said, you know, I want my day. I want to have a day. You know, there's a day for this, there's a day for that. And all you got to do is look on the calendar or put in your computer and type in a day. And it may pop up. But I want you to understand that there are some fools that have their day as well. And that's every day. Because the Bible says here in Psalm 14 verse 1, some people that did not want to serve, because they did not believe in God. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The fool says in his heart, what do you say? Is there a God? All you have to do is open your eyes. Look around. Who created man? You know, I can just see some of us going to the drawing board and said, you know, I want to create something. Y'all remember the first wheel? Some of y'all don't remember that, do you? I don't either. But it wasn't round. They had to perfect that thing. What God created upright. God created perfect. Man. Man, when man was created, man knew how to talk. Man knew how to walk. Man knew how to think. God gave him freedom of choice. But we have to know that when we read a passage like this, this is a man that does not want to serve God. Because he does not believe in God. He said there is no God. There's no way that somebody could do good. Everything is corrupt. Now we have to go back to the very beginning and know that everything that God created was very good. So we go to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. And we find a man that was willing to serve. Are you willing today? Are you willing to serve? No matter what type of life you have lived, are you willing to serve? Because you can change. And to serve God, you must change. The Bible says here in Isaiah chapter 6, as God was looking for somebody to serve him, somebody to go before him. And the Bible says in Isaiah 6, 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. How many people today are willing to step up to the plate? How many people today are willing to say, I am willing to do what God wants me to do? I am willing to go out there and to serve Him and to tell others about Him. How many of us are willing to do that? How many people on this past week have you talked to about God? How many people on this past month have you talked to? Or this past year? See, I believe that there are some people that are ashamed. There are some people that have fallen down on the job. Just because, you know, we've had this pandemic doesn't mean that we have to stop serving God. Doesn't mean that we have to stop sharing His word with others. It doesn't mean that. You say, well, I don't want to go out and talk to anybody. Does anybody ever call your phone? Do you have bill collectors calling you? Well, maybe they're not trying to collect. I know y'all all pay y'all bills on time. What about those warranty people? Y'all get that call, don't you? Your warranty is about to expire on a vehicle that you don't have anymore. Well, what you need to do is you need to tell them your life is about to expire. Talk to them about God. I've done that. You know, people call the house and they want to have a conversation about this and they want to have a conversation about that. Checks in the mail. But let me tell you what else you need to know. There is a God. And He is a living God. I remember talking to a lady that was outside of the States or outside of Kentucky. And I was talking to her about the Bible after she finished talking to me what she wanted to talk to me about. I said, now let me talk to you about something. And she said, you know, I have a son there. He goes to U of L. Maybe I can contact him and maybe he will come and visit you. See, there are plenty of ways that we can share the gospel. There are plenty of ways that we can serve God. What we have to do is we have to serve Him in a way that we know to be right. And so we go and we find, as we read there in Luke chapter 24, where He told His disciples that it was going to begin at Jerusalem. Going to begin at Jerusalem. So therefore the apostles had to be in Jerusalem in order to get what Jesus had told them that they would get. And so the Bible says there in Acts chapter 1 and the verse is 8. Acts chapter 1 and the verse is 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You will be my witnesses. We today, we are not those witnesses, because we were not there at the feet of Jesus. But we can read the word. We can know what they received because the Holy Spirit allowed them to write it down. And it's not everything, but guess what? It's enough. It is enough. If it was everything that Jesus told them or everything that Jesus had done, our minds would be so boggled with, you know, this little book that I'm holding in my hand, I would not be able to hold it. If it was everything. So we have enough right here. So let us do what is right. We go to the book of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Paul wasn't there. But you know, he got his. He got his because God wanted him to have his. He got his because he was needful in order to spread the gospel, to share the word with the Gentiles. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1 and the verse is 16. Was pleased to reveal his son to me. This is Paul talking. In order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. And I did not immediately consult with anyone. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Returned again to Damascus. The very place in which Saul was headed in order to persecute the church. I preached a message, you know, the same destination, a different mission. Jesus didn't tell him, no, don't go to Damascus. Jesus didn't tell him that. You go on, you go to Damascus. And when you get there, there's a man that's going to tell you what you need to do in order to be saved. That was Saul's question to the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? See, a lot of times that's our question too, to different people. What do you want me to do? What do you want from me? Ask God that. But when you ask him that, don't ask him with an attitude. Ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? And when you go to his word and you find out what he wants you to do, you do those things. So keep serving. Keep sharing. In Galatians chapter 9. But don't go that far, do it. I have no idea what that was supposed to be. But I'm going to keep sharing with you. Let's keep saving. We have a responsibility. Responsibility in order to share the word with others. We have a responsibility in order to do what is right before God. So when we talk about saving, we talk about the sharing that we have to do, that again, it must be according to the will of God. So in Matthew chapter 9, we find these words in verse 37. Because everybody said, well, you know, he's working over there. He's working over there. I don't have anything to do. Yes, you do have something to do. You just don't want to do it. He says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You must be willing to do what is right. Must be willing to do what is right. And there are so many people today that have so many talents, and they are wasting away because you do not want to serve, you do not want to share, and you do not want to save. You want somebody else to do those things. Your excuse is, I can't. You know why you can't? Because you haven't tried. You haven't put forth any effort. You haven't stepped up to the plate like Isaiah. Here am I, send me. Can I get a volunteer? You know, everybody looking around at everybody else. You need to get your phone out. You need to act like you're going to take a selfie. Look at yourself. Look at that picture there. And then put it down and raise both hands. I'm ready. I'm willing. It's my responsibility. I am the one that said that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I am the one that went down into that watery grave. I am the one that made that conscious decision to become one of his children. I am the one. That's what we need to be saying to ourselves. That's what we need to be saying to others. We need to be knocking those doors and talking to people about the Lord. And you don't necessarily have to be a real door. It could be you there waiting on them to come out of the grocery store. Out there just passing flyers out or tracts out, hanging them on people's cars. You know, don't do it on a rainy day. Do it on a nice day. Don't necessarily put it up under their windshield. Put it right there by their door in that little slot there. It ain't really no slot, but make a slot. Right there on that window. Put it right there. When they get ready to open the door, they can't do nothing but see it. Some will take it and some will read it. Others will take it and throw it down on the ground. And hopefully somebody else will come by and pick it up. And they'll read what they need to do in order to be saved. Again, then he said to his disciples, The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Send them out. It is necessary for us to realize the importance of this. For look what he says in Proverbs chapter 11, and the verse is 30. Proverbs chapter 11, and the verse is 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And whoever captures souls is wise. Whoever wins souls is wise. See, we don't want to go back to Psalm 14:1. We don't want to be that foolish person that says there is no God. We want to be the wise individual that's telling people about God. Winning souls, capturing those souls. You know, there are times where we talk to people about this and we talk to people about that. But we never talk to them about God. Why? Why? They tell you about everything in their lives. Why do you tell them about things in your life? About how good God has been to you. About where you used to be. And then tell them where you are now. See, many, many years ago, we were out there in the world doing what we wanted to do. I know some of y'all were raised in the church. But when you came on Sunday mornings, where was your mind? I'm afraid to say your mind was in the same place it is today. Because you're not doing what you need to do. You're thinking about what's going on out there. Again, these people talk to you about the sports that's going on. They talk to you about politics. They talk to you about their families. And in turn, you stand there and you listen and you join in that conversation, but you never seize the moment to talk to them about God. That's not very wise. Y'all have heard it said before, if someone complained to you, that you turn right around and you complain to them. Well, when they start talking, they'll open the door. Start talking back. Win them for the cause of Christ. Don't let it be said that you never mention him to me. Talk to them about God. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 19 in the verses 10. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Again, what did his parents do? His parents went looking for him. Looking for him. And there he was, the Bible tells us, sitting there, listening, asking questions. And the people were astonished. See, sometimes we can blow the minds of people by just telling them one thing about Jesus. And that one thing is not, you know, John 3:16. Although that's great. Because that's what he did. God sent his only begotten son, as Brother Mark prayed. His only begotten son to die for the sins of the world. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting love. He loved us that much. Have everlasting life. He loved us that much. We tell people that. People know that already. So therefore, people don't do anything. So we need to tell them something else. We need to tell them that Jesus was there in the beginning. That Jesus is the Word. See, a lot of them haven't heard that before. A lot of them don't want to hear that. The Jehovah Witnesses don't want to hear that Jesus is God. Don't want to hear it. They want to read what some man has written down, what some angel told them. Remember Paul telling the church of Galatia there in chapter 1, that if we or an angel from heaven should come and to preach unto you another gospel, let him be accursed. So yes, those individuals that are preaching that Jesus is just a God, they are accursed. They're going to get their just reward. So we need to tell people that Jesus is God. Amen. That he is God, according to the scriptures. John chapter 1, Amen. Verse 1. And we need to tell them that God sent him to die for the sins of the world. We need to tell them that. And we need to tell them that they need to believe in Jesus. They need to believe the purpose in which he came and the place in which he is setting right now. We need to tell them those things. Again, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Jesus says in John 8:24, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So we need to be sharing this with people. Because again, it's all about him. All about him. So we need to stay the course. Stay focused. Don't lose sight of the big picture. Heaven is our goal. We need to tell people how to get there. Amen. We need to tell them they need to quit living the way they're living. They need to make a change. Luke chapter 13 and the verses 3. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We need to tell people they need to stand up and they need to confess who Jesus Christ is before man. According to Matthew chapter 10 and the verses 32. If you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. Man down here upon this earth, you confess me before them, and I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. Are you willing to share that with people? Maybe you're here, and I want to ask you, if you have not obeyed the gospel, are you willing to be obedient on today? Are you willing to go down into the watery grave of baptism? Because baptism is what saves, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 3, verse 21. Are you willing to tell people about his love? Are you willing to tell people that they need to continue to study in order to show themselves approved unto God? A workman that needed not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We go back and we look in Luke chapter 2. And the Bible says this in reference to our Lord and our Savior in verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He increased in wisdom and in stature in favor with God and man. As he was down here upon this earth in bodily form. You know, the Bible tells us, once we become one of his children, that we need to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You want to be like him? Get in the Word. Be the person that he desires you to be. Stay the course. It's all about him. We're pointing people to Calvary. We're not trying to get people to follow us. We're trying to get people to follow him. Amen. Follow him and his ways. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a child of God and you want to become one. You have learned that you are going in the wrong direction and you're willing to change. You're willing to say that, you know, I want to be a child of God. I want to be the best person that I can be according to his word. That opportunity is yours. Do not pass it up. Do not pass it up. Accept Jesus today as your Savior by being obedient unto the gospel. Maybe you're here and you're strayed away from the fold. We want to encourage you to come back. Come back before it is too late. For the day is coming when God will require your soul. And if you die in sin, you will die a second death. And you will be cast out into the lake which burns with fire and sulfur. You don't want that. You want to be told to enter in, my good and faithful servant. So if you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.